90.1 KZFR presents in Chico a New Year's Eve blowout. It's Tuesday, December 31st at the Chico Women's Club, starring three great local bands, Swamp's End, Smokey the Groove, and Lo and Behold. Get tickets online at kzfr.org, Chico Paper Company, and Blaze and Jays. This is a low-dough show. Tickets only $10 in advance. The New Year's Eve blowout is at the Chico Women's Club. Don't miss it. Beer from Sierra Nevada.
Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Ohm Foods, serving organic, non-GMO whole foods, including wild-caught mahi-mahi, and having the largest vegan menu in downtown Chico. Ohm Foods serves homemade teas and lemonade, acai bowls, and smoothies blended with coconut water, and you can find them at 142 Broadway, just two blocks from Chico State. They're open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. with to-go and catering available. For more info, you can find them at iloveohmfoods.com and, of course, on Facebook. And we're made possible by Peterson Tree Care, because trees need care. John Peterson continues his family tradition of caring for Chico's amazing natural resource. Licensed, bonded, and insured with financing available, Peterson Tree Care handles residential and commercial properties and can be reached by calling 518-0924. This is KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. And welcome to show 1949, the December 4th, 2019 episode of Non-Human Radio, a roundup of current news on animal issues focusing on animal rights and veganism. I'm your host, Jeannie Trezino, here every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico. You can also listen to archive news at kzfr.org. On Tuesday's show, we'll be covering a few news stories. Wildlife versus ranchers in the Bay Area. Dean Foods, the nation's largest dairy producer, has declared bankruptcy. And alternative meat developers hope to create meat that's better than meat. Our last story is an interesting piece in what I'll call price point vegan activism. We'll end, as always, with the Chico Vegan Calendar of Events. All right, starting up with news story number one. One of the Bay Area's largest open space agencies has dropped a controversial plan to help cattle ranchers by killing nuisance mountain lions and coyotes. The Mid-Peninsula Regional Open Space District, based in Los Altos, announced that a proposal to kill mountain lions and coyotes was no longer under consideration, following an outcry from environmental groups and the public. The decision came shortly after the East Bay Times detailed the plans in the article and a month after a public meeting in which wildlife advocacy groups spoke in opposition to the proposal. The district, a government agency which is based in the Los Altos area and funded by property taxes, owns 65,000 acres, an area twice the size of San Francisco, across San Mateo and Santa Clara counties. The district was created by voters in 1972 to preserve wildlife, protect open space, and provide public recreation. The district began leasing some of its property to cattle ranchers a decade ago. Although California's state parks and most national parks do not allow grazing, the district says that the cattle help reduce fire risk and invasive species, and that its policy supports local agriculture. In recent years, the ranchers and their supporters say that mountain lions and coyotes have been killing their livestock. They asked the district to reduce the amount of predators. The agency drew up a draft plan and called it three strikes that would allow coyotes to be killed on the district's open space preserves after they kill two calves or other livestock, and mountain lions to be killed after they've killed three calves or other livestock. The lethal take could happen only after the rancher had tried other methods to deter the predators, such as fencing, guard dogs, or lights. No other local or regional parks agency in the Bay Area allows its wildlife to be killed to assist ranchers who lease its lands. Michael Rhodes, Natural Resources Program Manager for Santa Clara County Parks, which allows cattle grazing on 16,000 acres of its parks, told the East Bay Times that it would kill wildlife in the case of a threat to human safety only. His agency's philosophy is that predators have an important role in the ecosystem and that it doesn't want to minimize that simply for the purpose of assisting cattle or cattle ranchers, really. Seven ranchers lease out about 11,000 acres from the Mid-Peninsula District. Last year, the ranchers grazed 600 cattle in the five district preserves, all of them in rural San Mateo County. Last year, seven calves were killed by predators, which is a rate of 1.2%. Since 2013, when it first began keeping statistics, 22 calves, cattle, and steer have been killed on district lands. District officials say that they will continue to hold public meetings and pursue other options, including reducing the lease rates ranchers pay and encouraging other techniques like lighting, guard dogs, and fencing to deter predators. And that was a news report from the East Bay Times from November 22nd. And just as an aside, first of all, as we've mentioned on other shows, there is such a thing as a take permit, which is administered by the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. That allows private landowners to make an application and get a permit to kill a mountain lion after it kills domestic livestock just once. So private landowners have this option available to them on private land. And if that's what they want, ranchers can lease private lands for grazing their cattle. The ranchers on the Mid-Peninsula Preserve area, they pay $16.20 per month in rent for each cow-calf pair that they run on that open space preserve. That is actually among the lowest rate of any local park or open space agency in the Bay Area. The Santa Clara County Parks and Recreation Department, for example, charges $19 per month. And the East Bay Regional Park District charges $20 per month for that cow-calf pair. So just an example, just to show that this particular district is not even particularly high-priced. We've talked about Bureau of Land Management and U.S. Forest Service grazing, managed by USDA and the Bureau of Land Management. The federal grazing fee in 2019, as established in February of this year, is $1.35 per cow-calf pair on public lands on the U.S. Forest Service, and the same price for BLM lands. So just an idea of the subsidy that the federal government is giving to cattle ranchers. We have a rate of $16 at a state agency, between $16 and $20 at a state agency, and $1.35 at a federal agency. And as an aside, one of the protesters who protested the dropping of this three strikes proposal was the San Mateo County Farm Bureau. No friend to wildlife or open spaces. And also, this is from the prior East Bay Times article. For the last 6 years, the Mid-Peninsula Open Space District has had a policy of paying ranchers their fair market value for their cattle per pound when the livestock is killed by predators. Over the last 6 years, the district has paid $19,000, or about $2,700 per year, on these predation compensation plans. So, you know, like, instead of that, not being happy with that, ranchers want a plan to exterminate mountain lions, which, by the way, really do not have cattle as their main food resource. Scientists with the Santa Cruz Puma Project have put tracking collars on 80 mountain lions over the last decade in the Santa Cruz Mountains in a different area. And they have found that in that decade of 2008 to 2014, a six-year period, research found 439 kills, of which 348 were deer. So, four cows over that period of 6 years. So clearly, mountain lions have their preferences for prey animals, and it's not cattle, and it's not calves, it's deer. So that was good news to hear that activist rallied against that misbegotten proposal and got it dropped, at least for the moment. They're now going to carry on with public meetings. That was an article by Paul Rogers in the East Bay Times on November 22nd. You're listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio hosted by yours truly, Jeannie Trezino. If you want to follow more current events and animal rights-related news, I invite you to follow the Non-Human Radio Facebook page, where much more of this type of material is posted and shared. Our next story is A Milk Giant Goes Broke as Americans Reject Old Staples, from the New York Times. When Samuel E. Dean Sr. founded his milk company at a processing facility in Illinois, milkmen still delivered pints to homes all over the United States, and children dutifully drank three glasses of milk a day. That was in 1925. Nearly a century later, milk is quickly going out of fashion, and Dean Foods, which is now the largest milk company in the United States, has found itself unable to compete as plant-based and lactose-free dairy alternatives rise in popularity. Saddled with debt and struggling to adjust to changing consumer habits, Dean Foods filed for bankruptcy protection in November, signaling another grim chapter in the recent struggles of the dairy industry. The company, whose portfolio of brands includes True Moo and Lehigh Valley, said it was in talks to sell itself to Dairy Farmers of America, a marketing cooperative that sells milk from thousands of farms. Across the food and beverage industry, the challenges facing Dean Foods are becoming increasingly familiar. In recent years, consumers have moved away from brands and even entire categories of food once seen as household staples. The decline of the milk industry has emerged as a particularly stark example of how these changing tastes are challenging major companies whose products once crowded store shelves. Dean Foods is not the only major brand struggling to keep pace as consumer habits shift. Outside the dairy industry, Kraft Heinz has also stumbled. In 2015, the merger between Kraft and Heinz, owners of some of the best-known brands in packaged foods, created a giant with $28 billion in annual revenue and dozens of products that Americans have eaten for generations. But as demand for unprocessed and organic alternatives rose, the company's sales and profits plummeted. Kraft Heinz also made steep budget cuts at a time when research and development should have been increased, analysts say, with startups competing for shelf space. Like Kraft Heinz, Dean Foods has watched from the sidelines as smaller rivals dominated the growing market for trendy alternatives, like almond milk and plant-based dairy products. In fact, in 2012, the company started spinning off its units that made such alternatives, a move that in retrospect looks like a grave strategic error. Those brands, Silk and Horizon Organic, are now owned by Danone, the French food company. The two struggling companies have also faced competition from private label brands developed by retail chains like Walmart and Kroger. Walmart, once one of Dean Foods' most important customers, opened its own milk processing plant in 2018. Dean Foods and Kraft Heinz are not the only food companies facing competition from private label products. In August, Target announced plans for its own line of grocery products, which it expects will include more than 2,000 items and become a multi-million dollar brand by the end of next year. Before its bankruptcy filing, Dean Foods had reported losses for 5 straight quarters and closed some of its plants, laying off hundreds of workers. The company's senior leadership has been in a state of flux, with 3 chief executives in 3 years. And according to its website, by the way, Dean Foods owns 930,000 cows, who knows what will happen to them. Will probably get acquired by other dairies live out their sad lives. Across the country, milk consumption is steadily declining. Americans drank 37% less milk in 2017 than they did in 1970, according to the USDA. This year, the Dairy Farmers of America reported that its milk sales had dropped to $13.6 billion in 2018, down from $14.7 billion in 2017, so about a $1 billion decrease in just 1 year. That does not sound good. Well, it doesn't sound good for the industry. It sure sounds good for cows. One reason for the decline is a decrease in cereal consumption. More and more Americans are switching to power bars and other breakfast options that can be consumed on the go. The growing enthusiasm for another dairy product, yogurt, has also hurt Dean Foods by chipping away at demand for cereal. And in recent years, milk alternatives made from almonds, soy, cashews, and coconuts have exploded in popularity. Many people consider them more nutritious than cow's milk, or buy them because they have a milk allergy or are lactose intolerant, or are ethical humans who believe that cow's milk is for baby cows. In 2016, Starbucks, the world's largest coffee chain, started offering almond milk to lighten its espresso drinks, responding to consumer demand. And last year, sales of nut and plant milks grew by 9%, according to the Plant-Based Foods Association, a industry trade group. And while it may seem obvious, and that was a news article from the New York Times in November by David Yoff Bellany. And as an aside, while it may seem obvious, many people don't consider that cows must be pregnant or have just given birth to produce milk. That baby calf is conceived through artificial insemination, which is, as you can imagine, a highly invasive and stressful procedure. And after they're carrying their babies for 9 months, just like humans, mother cows give birth. Newborn calves are typically taken away from their mothers within just hours of birth. Yes, this incredibly cruel practice happens every year, even at your organic, quote, happy dairy farm. Understandably, this forced separation from their calves causes the mothers to bellow for hours or days. They even pace and search in vain for their babies. And that is just a background behind your glass of milk if you still choose to consume dairy milk from cows. Our next news story is titled, Soon, a Meatless Burger That Tastes Better Than Meat, posted in Forbes magazine last month. Plant-based burgers are becoming more mainstream, or at least more available. For instance, see the Impossible Whopper at Burger King. The Good Food Institute says it won't be long before meat alternatives taste better than the meat and are more nutritious. This prediction comes from Liz Specht, Associate Director of Science and Technology at the Good Food Institute, which supports plant-based and cultivated alternatives to conventional meat products. Speck says in a post at Science Blog, in the near future, we'll begin to see meat alternatives that outperform their animal-based counterparts at multiple levels, from taste to nutrition. We have barely scratched the surface in terms of what's available for plant-based and cultivated meat. Once we decouple the means of meat production from the biological limitations of the animal itself, anything becomes possible. Cue your TED Talk music there. What does decoupling mean? Matt Ball, Senior Communication Specialist at the Good Food Institute, explains it further. Matt Ball told Forbes magazine that, quote, meat from animals is about as good as it can be, and in some cases, it's worse. Most of the meat today is produced is determined by economics, not taste. Meat companies producing the cheapest meat that they can. But with both plant-based and cultivated meat, we aren't limited by an animal's biology and physiology. This gives us enormous freedom to explore new types of meat. End quote. What does that mean? What would a better non-meat taste like to make it better tasting than meat? Matt Ball says to think about the absolute best tasting meat you've ever had, if you're a meat eater. And then to consider whether every other bite of meat you've had has been equally as good. It probably hasn't. Because currently, meat companies have to sell every part of the animal, not just the best tasting or most tender part. Just as importantly, almost all meat comes from animals bred to be efficient at one thing, converting feed to meat, and not because their meat is the tastiest. Cultivated meat allows producers to use the best quality meat cultivated from cells sampled from the best animals, Ball says. And this is different from other types of plant-based burgers that are out there. Now we're talking about meat cultivated in a vat from animal meat cells, animal muscle cells. As this type of technology develops, Matt Ball of the Good Food Institute says, quote, we can cultivate meat that is all upside. No gristle, no bone, no skin, no tendons. That's typically considered waste. And by the way, no suffering, no pain, no murder. We can tweak the ratio of anything in the meat or even combine things that would never occur in a single animal. This goes beyond what the current alternative plant-based meat companies like Beyond Meat and Impossible are doing, which is taking plants and making them more meat-like. And we have not yet seen this, but soon we will see meat that is cultured from animal cells, and that will be meat without the animal. Increasing interest in plant-based meat is due in part to a rise in flexitarians, or people who still eat meat but are trying to reduce their meat consumption for various reasons. In terms of the marketplace, that means newer products need to deliver on taste and texture and not just, quote, be meatless. Additionally, compared to animal-based meat, plant-based meat companies are entirely transparent and must list all their ingredients. And this is quite different from the hamburger you get, which also has a number of ingredients, though which aren't necessarily labeled. They are just kept to regulatory standards for trace ingredients or components. Right, and that was a meatless burger that tastes better than meat by Jeff Cart in Forbes magazine from November 13th. You've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio, hosted by Jeannie Trezino. All right. And our last news story is titled, A Bodega with Kale and Activism on the Menu, also from the New York Times. From the outside, Laraya's Bodega looks like a harbinger of the sort of gentrification it is designed to fight. There are chic potted plants on floating shelves, crystals and candles for sale, and in the back, a large, brightly covered wall of fake flowers, perfect for an Instagram photo shoot. The difference is the cost and the owner's mission. All of the food here is $5 or less, and the bodega will eventually provide job training as well as employment opportunities for veterans and the homeless. The price point is the activism. The price point is the focus, said Laraya Gaston, age 31, who opened the shop in September in the neighborhood of Westlake, just east of Koreatown in Los Angeles. Ms. Gaston said that the bodega is an ode to activist-driven community programs, like the Free Breakfast program run by the Black Panthers in the late 1960s. It's the latest venture of Love Without Reason, the nonprofit she founded 4 years ago. Her organization runs a meal program called Lunch on Me that serves 10,000 meals to the homeless per month in Los Angeles and provides similar services in Hawaii and New York City, where Ms. Gaston hails from. The shop is called a bodega, she said, because the term brings to mind a sense of community. To foster that sense of community, she plans to hold events like birthday parties for kids and open mic nights at the store, as well as having fun classes for kids. The cafe offers vegan salads, soups, and chili, all made from scratch in-house, as well as organic snacks, which are donated by sponsors and companies that sell also inexpensively. And the reason why it's vegan, as far as I could tell, is because it's healthy food. It's good, healthy food for folks who normally don't have access to that kind of fresh-made food from scratch or organic foods. The article goes on to say, when she first moved to L.A. 5 years ago, Ms. Gaston said that she was struck by the scale of poverty on Skid Row and by the racial demographics of the city's homeless population. Skid Row's inhabitants in L.A. are 58% Black and 25% Latino, according to the L.A. Homeless Services Authority, where L.A. County overall is 9% Black and 49% Latino, according to Census Bureau data. So there's a mismatch there. Way more Blacks than represent at 58% than represented by the county, by the Census Bureau at 9%. Last year, soon after the death of her grandmother, Ms. Gaston actually spent 43 days living in Skid Row in a tent as part of a documentary she directed, saying, "You can't fix it unless you go to those places." Love Without Reason has already helped some Skid Row residents get jobs at local restaurants and food trucks, but Ms. Gaston is hoping to expand that further in her own shop. Ms. Gaston said that for her, everything is emotionally charged, and many of her initiatives stem from her interactions with community members. After seeing how many school-aged children pass by the bodega, she started offering free meals to them. This month, she plans to distribute complimentary snack packages as well. And that was A Bodega with Kale and Activism on the Menu by Eric John in September 26th in the New York Times. All right. And that is our news. You've been listening to Animal News on Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM. Now it's time for the Chico Vegan and Animal Rights Calendar of Events. Get ready to mark your calendars for a few things. Heads up, registration for our Snow Goose Festival just opened. That's going to be held January 22nd through 26th in 2020. Looking forward. You can register now for their field trips and workshops at snowgoosefestival.org. Coming up tomorrow, or Friday, December 6th, Chico Climate Strike. It's the next wave of climate strikes across the globe. In Chico, the strike will be held on Friday, December 6th at 9 a.m. and running through 4:30 p.m. It will be at the Chico State Campus at Trinity Commons or in the breezeway under the Merriam Library in case of rain. The goal is to stop business as usual and engage, educate, and connect. In the September climate strikes alone, 7.6 million people took to the streets. Details on the event can be found on the calendar at the Non-Human Radio Facebook page or through the 350 Butte County Facebook page. The community groups allying for the event already include 350 Butte County, the Sunrise Movement, Chico Peace and Justice Center, Wildcats for Bernie, Chico Women's Club, the Chico Chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America, the Democratic Action Club of Chico, the Citizens Climate Lobby, and Showing Up for Racial Justice, Surge of NorCal. Also, Sunday, coming up on Sunday, December 8th, the first ever cluster truck event will be held this Sunday, December 8th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Secret Trail Brewing Company. The event will feature vendors and musical performances, as well as a visit from Santa. This is of interest to our vegan listeners, which I hope are many. The Gnarly Deli food truck will be debuting its vegan burger, which it calls the Inconceivable Burger. Hopefully that means what they think it means, which is a mix of beans, beets, and tofu. For more info, please see the Facebook event, which is shared onto the Non-Human Radio Facebook page calendar. And coming up December 14th, save the date for the Holiday Pop-Up for Compassion, a benefit night for Blackberry Creek Farm Animal Sanctuary, which will be happening on December 14th from 4 to 9 p.m. at Breathe Yoga Studio at 830 Broadway in Chico. The event offers a chance to shop, eat, sip champagne, and be pampered while supporting rescued farm animals. And for more information on that, please follow the Facebook event, which is posting updates to vendors and performers and all sorts of raffle items daily. And that you can find on the Non-Human Radio Facebook page. And as always, we have one last piece of business to close out today's show. And that is our quote of the week from animal activist Joanna Lucas, founder of the Be Fair, Be Vegan campaign in the United Kingdom, who wrote, "The value of a sentient life is not measured in its utility to others, but in its immense, irreplaceable value to the being whose life it is." Show notes and links to the articles mentioned in today's show will be posted to the Non-Human Radio Facebook page and on Instagram at Chico Vegan. This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico. The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, its volunteers, its underwriters, or its staff. Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist rockers Rise Against. Please stay tuned for The Real Issue coming up with guest host Stephen Chudy at 6 o'clock, followed by Writing on Air from 7 to 7:30. Have a great week, and thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. This is Jeannie Trezino signing off. And remember, be different, be better, be kind, and go vegan.